Today's CBS Sunday Morning Podcast is sponsored by Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Does your financial advisor know you as well as the markets? At Ameriprise, we take the time to get to know you and your goals. We provide one-to-one financial advice that's personalized to you to help build your portfolio along with your financial confidence. For more information and important disclosures, visit Ameriprise.com/advice. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Member FINRA and SIPC.
If anything's got a chance of solving the world's problems, it's science and technology. And every breakthrough was the result of somebody doing the breaking through. I'm David Pogue. This is Unsung Science, the untold creation stories behind the most mind-blowing advances in science and tech. Presented by CBS News and Simon & Schuster. You can listen to Unsung Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and a very Merry Christmas to all. I'm Jane Pauley, and this is Sunday Morning. I bring you good news of great joy, so said the angel to the shepherds on Christmas Day. Of course, good news is far too often in short supply these days, from war to poverty to the pandemic. It's been another tough year. Still, given that this is a day to celebrate, what with so many medical wonders, advances in technology, and countless acts of kindness, on this Christmas morning, David Pogue offers us all kinds of reasons to be of good cheer.
If the headlines were all you saw this year, you might have missed the bright spots.
We're for sure saving whales and creating a safer habitat for them.
We collected 1,009,500 crayons and donated them to 700 teachers right here in Los Angeles Unified School District.
We are a bookstore by nature, mm-hmm. but we're also a place where you could come and have a conversation.
We're searching high and low for the good news of 2022. Later on Sunday morning.
On the subject of Christmas cheer, just 10 years ago, the singer Lizzo was living in her car. But this Christmas, she's waking up in a new house and giving Tracy Smith a holiday tour.
You know what time it is!
Grammy-winning superstar Lizzo has a reputation for going big, whether it's making music or playing Santa Claus.
I literally am Jolly Saint Nick. I'm the best in the game.
Very thoughtful gift.
So I'm too good. If you didn't cry when you opened your present, I didn't work hard enough.
It's bad pitch o'clock, yeah, it's thick 30.
Ahead on Sunday morning.
This feels like home.
It's actually really beautiful.
At home with Lizzo.
We'll have much more besides. Connor Knighton is rewinding his family's Christmas videos to share some memories. Seth Doan reveals the secret behind a classic Italian holiday treat, the tasty bread known as panettone. Rami Innocencio tells us the bittersweet tale behind the classic hymn, Amazing Grace. Plus Luke Burbank on the art of the Rubik's Cube, and the great Andrea Bocelli goes a caroling with the Young People's Chorus of New York City. It's a Sunday morning for Christmas Day, December 25th. 2022, and it all begins in a moment. Good tidings may not always make the headlines. Luckily for our David Pogue, there was enough good news this past year to fill a whole newscast.
Good morning. Now, you'd never know it from the headlines, but 2022 was a great year for good news. I don't just mean the big stuff, like gas prices dropping 37% since summer, the biggest climate bill in history, or NASA deflecting an asteroid's path 7 million miles away. No, I mean the good news you missed in 2022.
We begin with whales and ships. More whales die from ship strikes than just about any other cause. But now, there's some good news.
Oh, now we got gray whales. I haven't seen gray whales in a long time.
Once a month, Sean Hastings and Jess Morton fly over California's shipping lanes looking for whales.
By slowing ships down, it gives the whales more opportunity to get out of the way. And in the event that they are struck, there's a higher likelihood of survival ship. This is much akin to having a slow speed zone around a school.
They work for NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Hastings has created a program that warns ships to slow down when whales are nearby. But monthly observation flights weren't cutting it. NOAA needed something that could track whales around the clock.
So we have this big, beautiful yellow buoy that sits on the surface. And 600 feet underwater, we have a base that has a hydrophone, so an underwater microphone.
Callie Leipart is a scientist at the nonprofit Benioff Ocean Science Laboratory. Their buoys listen for whale song and alert nearby ships to slow down. And they seem to be working.
We have seen a reduced number of confirmed vessel collisions in the Santa Barbara Channel. So that's a win in my book.
There's good news for another species, too. Ours, in our quest to decarbonize the planet. 20 years ago, clean sources like solar and wind energy provided about 8% of U.S. power. This year, a record, over 38%. And of all the new power capacity we built this year, 81% of it runs on renewable power, another record. Decarbonizing our activities is a massive long-term project, but in 2022, we shifted into high gear. The fight against plastic pollution got a big bump this year, too. Canada banned most single-use plastics outright, joining 20 other countries with various bans and taxes on plastic. Amazon is phasing out its hundreds of millions of plastic shipping envelopes in favor of paper ones that you can recycle and they biodegrade. Colgate developed a fully recyclable toothpaste tube and then gave away the formula to its competitors. But you don't have to be a huge corporation to make a difference. Just ask Sheila Moravati.
When my little girl was about 3 years old, we kept going to restaurants and she kept getting these four free crayons that would go in the trash. And I kept thinking to myself, this is bizarre. Why are we throwing these things away when so many kids would just yearn for one crayon to call their own?
So she started crayoncollection.org, in which restaurants donate the abandoned crayons to underfunded schools.
Restaurants in America throw away 150 million crayons per year. These are made of paraffin wax and they do not decompose. Since we started Crayon Collection, we've already collected over 22 million crayons and we've set a Guinness World Record for the most amount of crayons collected and donated in one day.
What was the one day? You had a special event?
Yeah, we collected 1,009,500 crayons and donated them to 700 teachers right here in Los Angeles Unified School District.
Remember these headlines? E-books will kill off printed books. Amazon will kill off bookstores. Well, maybe not. 300 new independent bookstores opened this year and last, with 200 more coming soon, with far more diverse ownership than before.
We had to believe that as a community bookstore, the community will support us.
Derek Tompkins and Karen Smith of the Kindred Thoughts Bookstore in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
People come here and they say, hey, I'd rather spend my money locally. Mm-hmm. I'd rather spend my money with you.
You're fighting against convenience of right. One click.
Right. But there's also nothing like walking into a bookstore and perusing the shelves. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing like turning the pages.
This is a way to escape and mm-hmm. find your way mm-hmm. outside of your walls and explore. Mm-hmm. See. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? We got something that'll make those walls disappear for a while.
Right.
If we wanted to report all the good news of the year, it'd take a year. For starters, we'd tell you about how two of Charles Darwin's notebooks, stolen from Cambridge University 22 years ago, were returned anonymously this year in a pink gift bag. About the flight to Hawaii, where the airline gave every passenger a ukulele and a lesson to play it. About the physicist who wrote Wikipedia articles for 1,750 overlooked women scientists. And about how construction began on the world's largest wildlife crossing over 8 lanes of traffic in Los Angeles. But instead, we'll conclude today with an update. The Charlie Brown Christmas album has sold 5 million copies, but the children who sang on that 1965 recording didn't get fame or fortune. They were uncredited. And as Dave Willett, Dan Bernhard, and Carrie Cedarblade revealed in our story last Christmas, they received only $15.
It's one thing to not get paid, but you ought to get credit.
But a viewer who works at SAG-AFTRA, the TV Actors Union, saw our story and got in touch to say,
I've been looking for these guys for 12 years.
So we got some royalties from 1995 forward.
Every member of the chorus received a check for about $2,400.
Nobody's buying a vineyard in the south of France on this money, but it's recognition.
We've got the record set straight, and I'm very grateful for that.
As a bonus, the record company sent each of these guys a plaque.
I will say it is a cool thing to have a platinum record, and I'm guessing it's probably the only one I'm ever going to have. So.
There's still time.
That's all the good news for today. Actually, that's nowhere near all. But remember, bad news breaks suddenly, but good news is happening everywhere, all the time. Good morning, everyone.
In March 2020, a family on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Lame Deer, Montana, got shocking news about their loved one, Christy Woodenthigh.
My daughter had came and notified me that Christy was run over. And I said, is she okay? And she's like, no, she died. I was like, what?
Missing Justice from CBS News takes you inside what really happened that night and the federal investigation that followed. Listen to Missing Justice from CBS News on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, friends. I'm Dulce Sloan, correspondent for The Daily Show.
And I'm Josh Johnson, writer for The Daily Show.
And we have a new podcast called Hold Up.
We're going to be talking about staycations, the merits of texting versus calling, conscious rap versus club bangers.
You know, topics that are big to us, but small to everybody else.
And as best friends who rarely agree on anything, there's going to be plenty of arguments.
And I'm not losing the argument to anybody with that hairline.
Attacks already in the promo. That's fine. Listen to Hold Up wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound.
How sweet the sound of that traditional hymn, Amazing Grace. Remy Innocencio recounts the amazing story behind its inspiring lyrics.
Sung an estimated 10 million times each year, Amazing Grace marks its 250th anniversary this New Year's Day. Its birth not of American black spirituals, as some believe, but across the Atlantic, here in the tiny English market town of Olney, some 60 miles north of London.
What's it like being ground zero for where Amazing Grace actually started?
Well, it's quite, I was going to say amazing, but it is quite amazing because...
Music journalist Steve Turner wrote the book on the famous song. Its lyrics older than the Declaration of Independence.
Why do you think Amazing Grace was ultimately so enduring?
I think it's because... you know, I was lost and now I'm found, I was blind and now I see. I mean, it's an experience most people can relate to.
Those words are life reflections of John Newton.
He became the captain of a slave ship, so that's when he started trading.
A slave trader who nearly died in a shipwreck, he became a minister, then later an abolitionist. He penned a sermon for his New Year's service at the Church of St. Peter and St. Paul.
The famous words of Amazing Grace were written on a frosty December day much like this, but the tune, that wouldn't be written for more than half a century later.
This is what we might have heard on that first morning of 1773. one of several earliest known tunes paired to his words. But for several decades, no one melody was consistently linked to Amazing Grace. Until...
It caught the imagination of America. Amazing Grace is, in a sense, the story of starting this new life and going through toils and snares.
In 1835, an American Baptist published the Southern Harmony Hymn Book with a song, at the time, titled New Britain. Its use of shape notes, triangles, ovals, circles, and squares made it easier for the masses to read. It spread to the Deep South, the enslavers, and the enslaved.
The slaves were made to go to the churches of the, you know, the landowners.
And they thought, this also applies to us.
Which they took very much to heart because they knew what it was like in a very real way to be in exile.
By the 20th century, Amazing Grace became more closely tied to black spirituals, then the civil rights movement.
Hell no, we won't go.
And then in 1970, as antipathy toward the Vietnam War peaked, folk singer Judy Collins' raw rendition marked a rebirth.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
When I looked at all the songs that I could find that had ever been recorded, like 90-95% were post-Judy Collins.
Amazing Grace is a song of
hope and healing. It has a feeling about, you know, surviving terrible things. But it gives you a moment of hope. Sometimes that's all we need, isn't it?
The song has since emerged time and again in national grief and crisis.
How sweet the sound.
Including during the COVID lockdown, a priest played Collins's original for doctors toiling at a London hospital. Inspired, Collins released a new interpretation, a virtual choir of 1,000 international singers.
I'll sing it anywhere I can get a chance.
How about a chance right now?
Well, I'll sing you one line. Amazing grace. That's all I'll sing. I'll give you a taster.
From a little town in England, Amazing Grace is now renowned around the world. And even above it. John Newton would never have imagined.
His grave is right outside. How do you think the man would think about his words having gone global now?
I think he'd be really pleased. There are not many songs in the world that last 250 years.
And grace will lead me home.
Time to head home for the holidays with Connor Knighton, who shares some made-for-television Christmas memories.
Connor, say hello to everybody out here in TV land.
Hello, everybody out there in TV land. On this Christmas morning, I'd like to pause for just a moment and rewind.
Merry Christmas from 1984, and have a happy 1985.
Christmas 1984 was the week that Time magazine named the VCR Santa's hottest gift. The Knighton family was actually a little ahead of the curve.
Do you see a red flashing on the two days?
Yeah, red flashing. Yeah.
In 1981, my parents took out a loan to buy a Panasonic VCR and separate shoulder camera to record my very first Christmas. Today, that footage is priceless. On those old VHS tapes full of static and snow, I've got video of seeing my very first snowflakes with my mom, of building my first snowman with my dad.
And I'm out here playing with my boy, what's your name?
Connor!
Connor, and we're gonna build what?
A snowman!
And we're gonna name our snowman?
Ned!
Ned!
And Frosty!
Frosty!
To this day, no idea where that came from. We did not know anyone named Ned. Plus, I knew who Frosty was. I loved Christmas carols.
We never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer like Monopoly.
Eventually, a brother and a sister would join me on Santa's lap. We got bigger, the tapes got smaller, but without fail, the camera always came out at Christmas. There were Christmas cookies, Christmas stories, and of course, plenty of Christmas presents.
What is this one?
I don't know, but this one's for you, sweetheart.
My manners got better. Like most families' home movies, our hours of unwrapping are almost entirely unwatchable. But mixed in there, there are little time capsules of what I thought was cool.
Pipe cleaners! Welcome, pipe cleaners!
Oh yes, Mad Magazine!
Underwear from the Gap.
CD-ROM! My childhood was mostly analog. I grew up right on the cusp of when things went digital. We weren't documenting everything back then, and what we did got mixed onto tapes with random episodes of Dallas. Of course, hardly anyone has a VCR that can play those tapes anymore. So, this year, everyone in the family is getting one of these for Christmas. I went back and digitized everything. When I did, it was like looking at a life in fast forward. There were certainly glimpses of the person I'd become one day. I mean, is it really any surprise that the kid who stopped Christmas to show off his sweet Michael Jackson dance moves and threw to imaginary commercials,
we'll be back after these messages,
ended up doing this for a living?
I'm on TV!
But watching these old clips as an adult, I saw them all through a new lens. And these ghosts of Christmases past, I can now look past the presents and see the real gift that I was being given. Holidays made to feel as magical as the movies, produced by parents working so hard behind the scenes to make them special.
Hey, it's Roy Wood Jr., host of the Daily Show podcast, Beyond the Scenes, and we are back for season two. Beyond the Scenes is the podcast where we take the topics and segments that were on the Daily Show and give them a little more love. This season, we're bringing back more Daily Show writers, producers, and correspondents, more experts giving us some extra knowledge you can't get anywhere else. Don't miss it. Listen to Beyond the Scenes wherever you get your podcast. No matter where you get it, just find us.
Hey, Jefferson White here. I play Jimmy Herdstrom on the Paramount Network original series Yellowstone. Yellowstone is back and bigger than ever, and so is the official Yellowstone podcast. Now, this isn't just your typical recap podcast. Every week, you're going to get exclusive access to cast and crew members who will take you behind the scenes of Yellowstone in a way that no other podcast can. Saddle up for all new episodes of the official Yellowstone podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's become our musical tradition, a performance from the Young People's Chorus of New York City. This morning from New York's World Trade Center, inside the Oculus, designed by famed architect Santiago Calatrava. They're joined by the great Andrea Bocelli and two of his children, Matteo and Virginia.
Come lay your head upon my shoulder. Look outside, the stars are shining bright. Even though it's turned a little colder, we can light a fire, stay inside. Hear the angels sing, hear the angels sing. take a moment and be grateful for the joy, for the tears. Hear the angels sing, hear the angels sing.
Doan has found a sweet Christmas story in a pretty unlikely place.
As towering Christmas trees pack piazzas across Italy, there's a smaller yet no less significant holiday staple filling pastry chefs' ovens and schedules.
We make about 1,500 each day.
Each day?
Each day, yes.
That's a lot of benedetti.
That's a lot.
It's a necessary pace, Ascanio Brozzetti explains, to help feed Italy's national obsession with this bread-like dessert, panettone.
Everyone will have a panettone on the table Christmas Day. Everyone. Different kinds, also different prices, but everyone will have one.
He works for Giotto. While they use common ingredients,
some with candied fruits, like orange or lemon,
and follow a baking process which honors centuries of tradition, this panettone is unique. Because while some bakeries keep special recipes under wraps, this one has the entire facility locked down.
This is not your typical front door key.
Giotto's bakery is located inside a prison, Due Palazzi, near Padua, in Italy's northeast. Here, those convicted of heinous crimes can nurture their sweeter side. Professional staff, including Brozzetti, work with about 50 inmates to build skills.
È una sorpresa se vedi un coltello così grande nel prigione. It's a little strange to see a knife this big in a prison.
Sì, I primi tempi, sì.
At first, yes, Giovanni acknowledged, noting at the prison cafeteria they're only allowed to use plastic knives. Inmates are screened and selected for this work, which around the holidays focuses on their artisanal panettone, cooled upside down to keep its form. They've won some of Italy's top culinary prizes.
Prima la vita era vuota.
Before life was empty, this inmate told us, now you can start seeing the light. There's a pride here, they say, in the quality of the product. Organizers requested we not use prisoners' full names or ask about their crimes, but Joel volunteered what landed him here. I did a bad thing. I committed a homicide, he told us. I'll bring that with me forever, but when I'm working, those thoughts disappear. Before I was a street boy, he said, and I wonder if maybe I had the opportunity to have a job, to do something important, maybe I wouldn't be here. When he's released, he'd like to open his own bakery.
This is not a charity, this is a business for you.
Yes.
Yes, the idea is to make money to maintain all of this, Matteo Marchetto told us. He leads the nonprofit organization known as a cooperative, which manages Jolto. They've employed about 300 prisoners in the last 17 years.
Un'assunzione normale, come fuori.
We hire them like outside, he explained. Some of the money they make, they send to families and may transform themselves from a problem to a resource.
A un risorsa.
When we first entered the prison with Marchetto, we passed walls with giant posters of pastry chefs, as a school might celebrate its best students. In Italy, there are prisoners who harvest an island vineyard for the Frescobaldi winery, others who work a farm and make cheese. We visited a prison that runs a restaurant on special nights. It's a mix of public and private efforts to prepare inmates for life after prison. Many of the inmate bakers for Giotto have not seen the sleek cafe in downtown Padua where some of their delicacies are sold.
You get some tax breaks per employee in the prison, but wouldn't it be easier just to build a kitchen and make your panettone here?
Probably yes, it would be easier, but that is not our aim, Matteo Marchetto told us. There's something very important in the Italian Constitution, Article 27. The aim of the sentence is to re-educate, to rehabilitate. So that is our aim, to create a possibility through work and a real job.
Should we try some?
Yes.
And that's something that could make this ubiquitous, if not universally loved pastry, appealing to almost anyone.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where we are free. Ooh, yeah, someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth.
With an Emmy, hit album, multiple Grammy nominations, singer-songwriter Lizzo is having quite a year. Still, a few days ago, she took time out and welcomed Tracy Smith to her new digs.
Nothing says Christmas like a tree by the pool.
Nothing says Christmas in LA like a tree by the pool.
For years now, Grammy-winning superstar Lizzo dreamed of waking up in her own home on Christmas morning. Today, that dream came true.
It's kind of really cool. I don't think you really get used to, like, a cool house like this. Like, this is genuinely, like, a cool person house.
Her new place, in one of the swankier neighborhoods in Los Angeles, is the first house she's ever owned.
I don't use the pool nearly as much as I said I would. I gotta get in there. If I have five.
Last week, we were the first TV crew invited in to see it. And what a house it is.
Just 10 years ago, you were sleeping in your car.
Whoo! Staying in, like, people's rooms and sleeping on their couches. And now, on this past tour, which I was blessed to, you know, stay in really nice places, but I was still like, I miss my house. Like, I can't wait to come back home to my bed. And I was like, this is the first time I've ever said this. I don't know, it's a milestone for me. The Grammys are chilling.
Talk about milestones. She has three Grammys on the shelf, and there's definitely room for more. Her latest album, Special, is up for six.
Did you expect so many Grammy nominations?
I did not. I feel like as an artist, a lot of times I don't fit in with like the other artists who are making like really cool songs or songs you could play in a club and turn up to. Like I do feel like, oh my gosh, I'm such a I'm such a like dork of like the music industry, but this is my mission. I'm gonna go and just make music that makes people feel good. I can't cuss, but F being cool, I gotta do me, I gotta help people.
You don't think you're cool? You think you're a dork?
I do think, once a nerd, always a nerd. Seriously, it doesn't matter what happens. I've been a nerd for so long that like I can't really outgrow it or shake it.
You've made being a nerd pretty darn cool, come on.
Well, awesome. You're still a nerd. It's bad bitch
o'clock, yeah, it's thick 30. In a way, Christmas came early for Lizzo this year. Besides the Grammy nods, there was a highly successful tour and something she didn't see coming.
And the Emmy goes to
her TV show, Watch Out for the Big Girls, a televised audition for backup dancers, was a hit.
Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls!
And it won 3 Emmys.
When I was a little girl, all I wanted to see was me in the media. Someone fat like me, black like me, beautiful like me.
She was stunned, but her success is no surprise for the people who know her well. Lizzo was once Melissa Jefferson, a Houston teen with talent to burn. Her high school band teacher, Manny Gonzalez, pushed her to buckle down. And in 2019, we reconnected them.
Oh, my God! How are you doing?
Oh, my God, I'm so good! Oh, my God!
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You've been doing good.
Well, I did it, didn't I? You told my ass, you were like, get it together, girl, because you are special. Apply yourself. Those moments meant so much to me. Hi! Turn up the music.
Since then, there's been a lot more music.
I'm gonna be all right, okay.
And once the pandemic eased up, a lot more travel.
Turn up the music.
When I walked in the kitchen for the first time.
Which makes coming home to her very own kitchen that much sweeter.
And it was just peaceful, and I was like...
She showed me some of her family's holiday favorites, including yams, mac and cheese, and the traditional dressing.
And these are family recipes?
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't give anything away.
I see onions.
There's onions in here. There's a little secret surprise in here.
There's a secret surprise.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can't tell you. I feel bad. I like you. I like you a lot. But I can't give up the family secrets.
Not enough to give the family secrets,
Not
huh?
enough to give the family secrets.
Around here, the food is vegan.
No butter. There's no, like, meat. Yeah.
So what is that?
That is oat milk made into a cheese.
But still every bit a holiday feast.
Let me tell you something. That get the back of the elbows. What you know about the back of the elbows? I'm gonna show you in a second.
The Once back I'm... of the elbows.
Oh yeah.
All right.
So yeah, the show you a little something something. This right here, that's how you know you can cook. That right there.
Back of the elbow?
Back of the elbow. Throwing down.
In the early years of her career, Lizzo spent a lot of her holidays on the road, apart from her family. So for her first Christmas in her new home, she's going big. By our count, there were more than half a dozen Christmas trees, indoors and out.
Christmas tree, Christmas tree, Christmas tree, Christmas tree. It's excessive, I know. Don't come for me, America.
Oh, it's magical. Come on.
I know. Not having stuff for a long time, and now I got it. Like, I'm going overboard. I'm literally Santa Claus. I'm really good at giving gifts, by the way. I literally am Jolly Saint Nick. Birthdays, too. Like, I'm... the best in the game.
Very thoughtful.
So
gifts.
Yeah, I'm too good. I mean, I'm like, if you didn't cry when you opened your present, I didn't work hard enough.
But she says her whole family will be with her today, except for her dad, Michael Jefferson, who passed away in 2010.
I don't want to do the whole cliche, like, he's here with us right now. But I do feel like a part of him is with me, like, forever. Because it's like, you can't really deny that. So, like, I feel very connected. Of course, it'd be nice to physically have him here. But it's like, you know, I think that, like, love has to be enough. In case nobody told you today,
Her dad dreamed that Lizzo would be able to make a living playing music. She's done that, and along the way, spread a message of love and self-acceptance. You're special. And maybe that's the best gift of all. Broken, but damn, you're
still perfect. You not only lived his dream, you've lived beyond.
Beyond. I've lived beyond my dream. I'm like, girl, I'm like, okay, time to start dreaming bigger. Let's not even give ourselves a limit, because you never know. You just really never know what God has in store for you.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm back with season 3 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I'm looking forward to introducing you to more of my favorite people and things, all of them dead. From a top dog in 1990s television.
What happened? What's the story, Wishbone?
To a former top banana.
In the world up to 1960, when the Gros Michel was the only banana that we got, they were clearly better.
Listen to Mobituaries wherever you get your podcasts.
48 Hours and CBS News present Season 3 of My Life of Crime with Aaron Moriarty. This season, join Aaron for extended interviews with convicted murderers. Go beyond speculation to the evidence. Did Arturo Gatti really commit suicide? And what happened to Jennifer Dulos, the Connecticut mom still missing almost 4 years later? Listen to My Life of Crime from 48 Hours on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kennedy Center Honors airs later this week here on CBS. But we'd like to take a moment to honor the Kennedy Center itself as it marks a belated golden anniversary. When it first opened its doors in September of 1971, the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts served a dual purpose. As America's national cultural center, and as a living memorial to a president who saw the arts as central to the life of the nation.
It's a living institution. It's a place where you can come see new art and new ideas and sort of feel the sense of community that art fosters. And I think it's a really fitting tribute to my grandfather.
Rose Kennedy Schlossberg is the granddaughter of President Kennedy and First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
I feel so strongly that the White House should have as fine a collection of American pictures as possible.
It was a presidency that really cared for, supported the arts and enjoyed the arts, and I think that set them apart, and it's a beautiful way to remember them.
The John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts is really there, a marble-clad statement that official Washington, and therefore the nation, cares about culture.
The Kennedy Center was designed by architect Edward Durrell Stone, whose early renderings looked more like a docked flying saucer than the marble box we know today. As times have changed, so too have the artists who've graced its stages.
I think both my grandparents would be really proud of what's happening here. I mean, it's really exciting and young and new, and you'd have to hope they'd enjoy that.
After the pandemic postponed an in-person celebration last year, the center is now marking its belated 50th anniversary with a new permanent exhibit exploring President Kennedy's role as champion of the arts.
I see little of more importance to the future of our country and our civilization than full recognition of the place of the artist.
At the institution that bears his name, John F. Kennedy's words echo still. We head back to the Oculus for the Young People's Chorus of New York City in performance with Andrea Bocelli and his children, Matteo and Virginia.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King and heaven.
heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Here rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love.
Thank you for listening. Please join us when our trumpet sounds again next Sunday morning.
This is Paramount Plus. This is where Top Gun Maverick will soon land.
Having any fun yet?
This is groundbreaking original series like Criminal Minds Evolution.
This is 100% serial killer.
And from Taylor Sheridan, Mayor of Kingstown. And the Yellowstone origin story, 1923. And Tulsa King.
I'm gonna own this city.
Live sports like the NFL on CBS.
Touchdown!
And family favorites like the new movie Blue's Big City Adventure. This is a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus. Stream now.
Hey, it's Roy Wood Jr. Every week I sneak away from The Daily Show and bring you Roy's Job Fair, a dope podcast where we laugh about bad jobs or figure out ways to be better at the jobs we have. We've had on legends like Kerry Champion.
Oh, he fired us. The next day we came in and he gave us our check for the week. He paid us out for the week and said, thank you guys, but no thank you.
We all need something to eat, someone to love, and a way to provide. This podcast cannot help you with the first two. Listen to Roy's Job Fair on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.